pleasure. Thank you.
Well, when we think of the period of Ben HaMetzorim, so our immediate association is with the various nihugim, the various restrictions that we have, no weddings, at least for Ashkenazim, no haircut, no music. That's our association with the dry bochen. There is a certain irony to that. That the Rav has a very, very, very remarkable insight. He says, if you look in Chazal, and you look at what nihugim are from Chazal in the 3 weeks, so you can search high and low, and the only thing that Chazal mandated for the 3 weeks are the Tlasa de Poranusa, the three special haftorahs that we read over the course of the dry bochen. Everything else are later minhagim. The only thing which is midina, the Chazal, mentioned in the Psikta, is the three special haftorahs we have. So apparently, the core, the essence of the 3 weeks, is we're supposed to be focusing our thoughts. We're supposed to be entering a certain mood, a certain mindset, which those haftorahs help generate. The nihugim, which the later, which developed, is to help us concretize that, is to serve as reminders, to help steer us, to focus ourselves and to focus our thoughts. And the irony is that the reminders have sort of eclipsed the message. And that when we think of the 3 weeks, so we think of the no weddings and the no haircuts and the no music, and what's really the essence and the core of the 3 weeks is sometimes overshadowed. It's an irony which one encounters in other areas of halacha, of Torah mitzvahs as well. Now is not the time for that. So what are we supposed to be thinking about during this period of time? What are we trying to focus on? What should our mindset be? So if you have the source sheet in front of you, if you take a look at the first source here. So the Rambam here is actually talking about the Taniyos, amongst them Shavasa, the Talmas, and Tisha B'Av. So sort of literally, the Rambam is talking about the two bookends of the 3 weeks of Ben HaMetzorim. But clearly, by extension and by extrapolation, what the Rambam tells us about the purpose and the goal of Shavuos V'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av clearly spills over and helps us get a handle on what our focus is supposed to be during this period of time. So the Rambam writes as follows: Yeshu yomim shekol yisrael mis'anin bohem mipnei hatzoros she'irul bohem kidei la'oyer halavavos v'leftoach darkei hatshuva. That there are days when there's a universal custom to fast because of the tragedies, because of the catastrophes that happened on those days, to arouse, to stimulate, to provoke our minds, our hearts, to open up the avenues of tshuva. And the fasting, yi azeh zichron ma'aseinu haroyim, ma'aseh avoseinu shehoye k'ma'aseinu ato. And the fasting serves as a reminder for our evil actions and those of our ancestors, which were the same as ours. Ad shegorem lohem v'lonu osan atzoros. And this pattern of chet, Rachmana Litzlan, is what brought about these tragedies. שבזכרון דברים אלו נושב להיטב. By remembering, by being cognizant of that, so then we'll be moved to do tshuva. שנאמר בהסבדו סבונם וסבונם רוסם. There are two points here that the Rambam is sensitizing us to. First of all, we have to recognize the anomaly of a world in which there's no Beis HaMikdash. And it's a challenge to do so because naturally, I think we all define normalcy by our own experiences, by personal experience. I don't know too many people who either currently live in the United States or who visit the United States who are shocked or who think it's anomalous that this is an independent country and it's not just a bunch of colonies that belong to England and France. There's nothing anomalous about the U.S. being an independent country. That's our reality. That's the reality we were born to. And because of that, that's what we take for granted. That becomes our definition of normal. Mistumbus, someone in 1790, a 30-year-old, a 40-year-old in the year 1790, who came to visit the United States. So he probably reacted, and an Englishman who came, it was probably something very anomalous to see this as an independent country, and we're not running around looking for King George's picture all over Manhattan, because we tend to naturally define normalcy in terms of our own experience. There's nothing when we're not. There's nothing about when we get into a car, when we see traffic. So it doesn't arouse any reaction. It doesn't elicit any reaction. That's the reality we were born into. People who have zichronos from the Second World War and earlier. So to see a car was it was a spectacle. It was something that. That attracted one's attention. So it's natural that a person defines normalcy and anomaly in terms of their own personal experience. And what this Rambam teaches us is that that's not the Torah's perspective. The Torah's perspective is, despite the fact that for almost two millennia, we haven't had a Beis HaMikdash, the world as it exists today is in an anomalous state. That's an anomaly that there is no Beis HaMikdash. It's not something that's to be taken for granted. It's not just a reality. It's an anomaly. The second lesson that this Rambam imparts to us is that the ongoing state of Khorban is not to be attributed to historical inertia. It's not simply the case, well, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and therefore, by default, by virtue of the law of inertia, so the world continues without a Beis HaMikdash until something happens. It's quite clear from the Rambam that if the cause, if the religious, spiritual, metaphysical cause for Khorban were not ongoing, so then the Khorban wouldn't be ongoing either. So those are two, again, very, very fundamental perspectives. Perspectives that are supposed to preoccupy our minds, our thoughts, on Shavuos of the Talmud, on Tisha B'Av, and the period in between, to be sensitive to the anomaly of a world where there's no overt Hashra Sashchina, and to recognize that state is not one which endures simply by inertia, but that state of Korban endures only because the underlying religious, metaphysical cause for Korban is something which continues and which is being perpetuated, Rahmana Litzlan. As such, clearly, one focus of the 3 weeks, the Chafetz Chaim writes in his introduction to the Sefer that bears that name, that the leading cause for the Chorban, the fact that we're still in the cave of Chorban, is that the Aveiro of Simas Chinam and Kayadur, the Chafetz Chaim understands that it wasn't so much the Simas Chinam, it's the Simas Chinam which expressed itself in Moshe Mara, that it's because of that, the ongoing presence of that in Klal Yisrael, that is the leading cause for why the Beis HaMikdash remains in a state of Chorban. So clearly the 3 weeks is a time to think about how to address, how to redress Sinas Chinam, how to redress Lashon Hara, to think about Shmiras HaLashon, to think about what we can do to, within our Dalat Amos, in our own small way, to address the ongoing cause of Churban. Let's try to deepen our understanding a little bit of the 3 weeks. And to do so, let's talk a little bit in the Rambam's 13 principles of faith and the Yud Gimel Ikarim. So the 12th, of course, is Yemos HaMashiach. If you take a look at the third source that you have on the sheet, so the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim writes as follows: Hamelcha Mashiach, Asid Lamod al Hatzah Malchus David LeYoshna, the Memshala HaRishana. The Melcha Mashiach will be in state, will be established, the kingdom of Beis David. Ubona Hamikdash Mekabis Nitzchei Yisrael. He'll rebuild the Beis Hamikdash, and there will be an ingathering. He'll be responsible for the ingathering of Jews scattered all over. And all the Dinei HaTorah will become operative again. For instance, Makrivin Korbanos, we will be able to bring Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash again. Ba'osin Shmitin V'yovlos K'chol Mitzvasa Amur V'HaTorah, we'll have a full-fledged observance of Shemitah, we'll have Yovel again. Now here comes the crucial line. V'chol Mishe'enu Ma'amin Bo, O Mishe'enu Mechakel V'yoso, Lo b'shon neviim b'levad u'kofer, ele b'atoru b'moshe Rabbeinu. So notice here that the Rambam says that the Yisod HaEmunah of Mashiach, of Yemos HaMashiach, is not simply to believe that factually it is the case that there is a Melech HaMashiach who's going to come, and around him will arise a utopian world in Olam Hazeh, but the Yisod of Yemos HaMashiach is not just to be Ma'amin Bo, but to be Mechakel B'Yosa. We're required not just to believe that Mashiach is going to come, we're required to be awaiting Mashiach. Awaiting Mashiach, like you go to the train station to meet someone who's expected on the train. You go to the airport to meet someone who's due to arrive on the plane. There's supposed to be a sense of anticipation, a sense of longing, a sense of yearning, not just a belief that Yavo Yom the Hamashiach Yagia, but Mechakeh LeBiyosa, that's Ma'amin Bo. That's a person who believes that the Melech HaMashiach is going to come. But the Rambam says it's also required of us that we be Mechakeh LeBiyosa. In the Perush HaMishnayos themselves, where the Rambam formulated the Yud Gimel Ikarim, so the Rambam writes, HaYisod HaShneimosu, it's the next source that you have in front of you, HaYisod HaShneimosu Yimosu HaMashiach, V'hu L'hamin Ol Ames Shiyovo V'en Lo Mashenis Acher Im Yismameach HaKelo. To believe with conviction, with certitude, that the Mashiach is going to come in the right time. Ve'ein l'gbol ozman, we can't predict when that is. It may be today, it may not be. Ve'lo l'farish ha-samikros k'dei l'hotzi mehen zman bo. Om l'chachonim tofuach daitan shal mechash ve'kitzin. U'lahamin bo min ha-gdula bo ha-ahava. And now look at these next two words. U'lehispala l'bo. So here too, in the Yud Gimel Ikarim, just to give us a little sense of the perspective here, for the most part, the Rambam presents the Yisod HaEmunah in skeletal terms, very minimally. He certainly doesn't have a full-blown discussion of what it means, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, just to believe in Yichud Hashem. Every word here in the Yud Gimel Ikarim is counted and measured, and the Rambam here says that again, part of the Ikir is to be davening. The Yishuas Chakivinu Kol Hayom. Part of the Ikir is to be davening that Mashiach should come. How does he know that? So, it's a function of the Mechakeh LeBiyosa. It's a function of the Mechakeh LeBiyosa. Rachmana Litzlan, a person really needs something, or a person really wants something, a person is naturally going to daven for it. Moshe L'Mado V'Doma. Moshe Feinstein has in his Tshuvas, he writes that he thinks that B'nai Noach are obligated, Be'ez Tzora, in a time of crisis, they're obligated in tefillah. So where do you find that? Do you find that in the Gemara Sanhedrin, in the sugyas that deal with the mitzvahs B'nai Noach? So Moshe says, no, it's obvious, he says. B'nai Noach have to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, if a person genuinely believes in the Ribono Shel Olam and he finds himself in a foxhole, then he calls out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a natural expression of the belief. So Ke'en Zeh, the Rambam is telling us, if a person really wants and really yearns for Mashiach, it's going to express itself through tefillah. The source for the Rambam, that the Yisod HaEmunah is not simply to believe that factually the Mashiach is going to come, but there has to be a sense of longing, of waiting, of anticipation, of yearning, is the Gemara and Shabbos, the bottom source here in front of us. The six questions that a person is asked when he gives in the ultimate accounting for his life, and one of them is Tzipisa LeYeshua. So again, Tzipisa LeYeshua clearly conveys more than He'emanta BeYeshua. It's not simply did you believe that there will be an ultimate Geula, but were you mitzapeh? Were you waiting for it expectantly? Were you longing for it? Were you yearning for it? Mm-hmm. tradition is that when Mashiach comes, so all cholim will enjoy, will be restored to good health, to complete health. At some stage there will be tres amesim. So the question is, can that satisfy the requirement of tzipir liyeshua? Let's say my tzipir liyeshua is, a person's tzipir liyeshua is, he knows someone who nebuch is ill, is very ill. So he's being mitzapel Yeshua because of this side benefit, as it were, that will accrue b'mos HaMashiach. He wants to be reunited with a lost loved one. Does that satisfy the requirement of l'hispala l'bo'o, of being mechake l'biyoso? Or does it have to be mechake l'biyoso of ma'al kein nekav l'cho Hashem l'keinu l'eros meheru v'siferes v'zacho v'havi gilulim en ha'oretz v'alilim koros y'kareisun l'sakenol v'malcho shakai? Does the tzipir liyeshua have to be for the establishment of malchus shamayim throughout the world? So I don't know what all Balei Masorah say on the question, but from the Chofetz Chaim, it sounds like he understands the second position. On the flip side of the page, we associate the Chofetz Chaim with Chofetz Chaim, the Mishnah Berurah, and the truth is that would seem to be more than enough to constitute an immensely productive life. But the truth is, the Chofetz Chaim wrote voluminously. He wrote so many contradictions. Any problem that he saw in Kal Yisrael, so he wrote to try to give hadrocha and try to give chizuk. So we live in a time, the Chofetz Chaim already did also, when there are lots of problems. The Chofetz Chaim wrote an awful lot, three big volumes of Kol Kisvei Chofetz Chaim, besides the Mishnah Berurah. So one of the things that the Chofetz Chaim wrote is published separately. It's a very small kuntras called the Tzipisa Yeshua. It consists of three relatively short chapters, and the paragraph you have in front of you is the opening paragraph of the concluding third parak. Hine b'parkim she'avru, in the two previous chapters, Beirarnu mitzad ha'sechel, we clarified how logically it's dictated, it's mandated, shetzarach ha'adam l'tzapas to the Yeshua Hashem. The person, again, has to be longing for the Yeshua. V'ata nevayah hachiyah mimamayah chazal. He says, now let me cite the chapter and verse from Chazal. Tehalo omru b'shabbos, the Gemara that we just looked at, sheshoalim lo la'odim b'shas ha'din, that a person is asked after his, her sojourn on earth, tzipisa liyeshua. V'haynu kemo she'onu mispalim b'chol yom, v'karno torum liyeshua secha. That the Mashiach should be elevated through the redemption that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring. So already here, it's quite clear that the tzipir liyeshua, again, is not for some sort of side benefit that accrues to us, but for what the core and the crux of Yemos HaMashiach is, of L'sakein Olam B'malchus Shakai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Misra'im Al Ha'adam. Kaviyochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry with a person, K'she'enu Mechakel HaMalchusa. When a person doesn't await that establishment and that gilui of Malchus Shamayim, so Kaviyoch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Achmanu Letzlan, is angry at a person. Kedi Isa Psikta, Sha'am HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Tzadikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the Tzadikim to task. Lo Yofa Asisam, you didn't do right. Shechibavtem L'Torosi, you cherished my Torah, V'lo Chikisa M'Malchusim, but you didn't await you didn't long for it, you didn't look forward with anticipation to Malchus Shekhar. Harei afilu tzadikim, says the Chofetz Chaim, hamechabe ben haTorah, even tzadikim, who cherish the Torah, darshim mehem al tzipoy liYeshua. Even that is not an acceptable substitute. It doesn't give them a pass. But they too are held to account whether or not they long for the Gula. V'dovas em mekarivis ha-Gula. And when, if and when, we do long for it, we do await, we do anticipate the Geula, that hastens the Geula. K'di'isa b'yalkad eicha, Oma Yitzchak Avinu of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Shema in Chazara Labonim, Rachmano Litzlan, is it the case that my children are not going to come back to Eretz Yisrael? V'heishav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Tomar Kach, don't speak that way, Yitzchak Avinu. There's going to be a generation where they long for my capital M, for my Malchus, miyad hem negolim. And then instantaneously the Geula will happen. Shenema v'yesh tikva la'achrisech nu'um Hashem v'shev alvanim le'gula. Which the way Chazal are teaching the pasuk, if there will be tikva, if there will be hope, if you're yearning la'achrisech, you're yearning for achris hayomim. So then right away, v'shev alvanim le'gulam. Mikol zeh nira, from all this, we can discern, says the Chofetz Chaim, sh'ritzon Hashem yizbarach sh'nechakel ma'achusa v'choles, that we should be waiting, again, with a sense of longing for the Sakein Olam, the Malchus Shakein. To Yisrael Kedoshim Haim, whatever preoccupies our minds outwardly, consciously, certainly there's a lot of this which percolates beneath the surface. Yisrael Kedoshim Haim. But let's try to spend a few minutes how that can become a more conscious preoccupation, not just a subconscious feeling, but a conscious preoccupation and a constant focus. How do we awaken within ourselves, how do we arouse within ourselves that longing for Malchus Shamayim? So a key is provided, Kimiduma, in this next passage that you have in front of you from the Sefer Chinuch. This is the Sefer Chinuch's conclusion to his discussion of the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. So the Sefer Chinuch concludes as follows. Va'over al zeh, a person, man or woman, equally obligated in the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, who transgresses this mitzvah. How is a person guilty, Rachmana Litzlan, of that infraction of neglecting, of transgressing the mitzvah of Avas Hashem? V'koveya machshevosov b'inyonim hagashmiyim u'bahavle ha'olam shelo l'shem shamayim rak l'hisaneg bohem levad. A person whose thoughts are focused, are trained on physical, mundane matters, on all the transient, ephemeral futilities of life, not because of any tie-in or any bridge for Dvarim Ruchniyim. Not with any Shem Shemayim, not the Sonic Ben Levan, to enjoy in the Olam Hazeh Dika sense of the word. Not in the Lulei Saras Pashashuai sense of the word, in the Pikudi Hashem Yisharim Sam Chalet, not in that sense of the word, in the Olam Hazeh. Person looking to enjoy life. Enjoyment defined in physical, mundane terms. O lahasig, kvod ha'olam hazeh, ha'koeh l'hagdil shuno. Where a person's agenda is to earn for himself glory and kovod, he's interested in self-glorification in this world, which is koeh, which is pining and pained, lahagdil shmo, to glorify the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bitel asezer. So the Sefer Chinuch obviously isn't directly speaking to our issue of Tzipir LeYeshua and how a person seeks to awaken such a tzipia within himself. But he does establish for us here a profound antithesis. He tells us that being immersed in the physicality, the mundaneness of life, is antithetical to being concerned with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those two things are dava v'hipucha. Chovas HaLevavos has a similar comment. Chovas HaLevavos says that love of Olam Hazeh, again, Olam Hazeh, not the Vilna Gaon's Olam Hazeh of crying that he couldn't do any more mitzvahs, but the Olam Hazeh of the street that we're all familiar with. And love of Olam Hazeh are no more compatible, says the Chovas HaLevavos, than fire and water. Perhaps the following mashal will help us apply the Sefer Chinuch to our question, our task at hand. Let's say a certain organization or a certain business sends out a communication or an advertisement. Let's say it's written in English, but it's written in poor ungrammatical English. There's a whole range of responses and reactions to such a thing. Some people don't even notice it. It don't capture their attention. Other people notice it, but it doesn't really evoke any reaction. Some people will be offended, and some people will be really upset, genuinely upset, and deeply pained by the corruption of the language. So what determines where on the spectrum one falls in terms of that spectrum of reactions? So a person who himself, herself, has no sensitivity to language, and accordingly, himself, herself, speaks carelessly, oftentimes ungrammatically, that person's not even going to notice the grammatical error. The person who's casual, but for the most part speaks properly grammatically, but it's not especially important to him or to her. So that person will notice the error in grammar, but not really care about it. A person who's meticulous about his language and his choice of words, he's going to be offended by it. How do you send out something like this? How do you send out a mailing written so poorly? But let's say you have someone who always, who's devoted tremendous time and invested energy in the study of language, and has developed an appreciation and love for the beauty of language. So that person is going to be deeply pained by the shoddy linguistic workmanship. When my father used to see things that were written poorly, it bothered him very much, very deeply. It upset him. It genuinely upset him. What's the nimshal? If our lives revolve around the physical and the mundane, so Kvod Shamayim is not on the radar screen. We may, and Chas v'Shalom, l'bonu l'kantem, we may discharge our obligations. But nicer, if the obligations to be discharged, that the focus of our life is what the Sefer Achinuch describes, so there isn't going to be any sensitivity to the trampling of Kvod Shamayim in the world we live in, and there isn't going to be any Mechaka Leviyoso or the Sakin Olam B'malcho Shakai any more than the person who himself speaks ungrammatically is going to be sensitive to someone else's grammatical error. It's not on his horizon. It's not on his radar screen. He's not even going to react to it. Alachas kama v'kama. How much more so? He's not going to long or yearn that situation should change. To respond to the, again, overtly, consciously, not only Yisrael Kedoshim Hay, not only subconsciously, not only what percolates deep down within ourselves, but to bring it to the surface, that it should be a conscious focus, a conscious preoccupation, a conscious longing and yearning. Our lives have to be not just that we comply with Torah, but our lives have to be Torah-centric. Our lives have to be theocentric. The more in touch we are, the more in touch we become with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, His greatness, His chokhmah, His perfection, His goodness, the more we recognize how everything else is a shadow. It's not real, it's no mamushus, there's no substance. And the closer we bring ourselves to caring and longing for Kvod Shamayim. how do we get in touch with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, His greatness, etc.? A, to extricate ourselves from that life of, which is characterized by physical indulgence and comfort, where that's the defining aspects of life. And as we say three times a day in Elokai, Netzur, Psach libi besor asecha v'achrei mitzvosecha tirdof nafshi. The more a person's life revolves around, is devoted to Torah, so the more he becomes the analog, the counterpart, in our mashal, to the person who has studied language and has come to appreciate the beauty of language, and because of that, he's sensitive to distortion of language. The more a person studies Dvar Hashem, the more a person is devoted heart and soul to implementing Ritzon Hashem, the more sensitive one is to a world in which all of that is trampled. There's an idea which appears in many of the Sefer Chassidus that highlights a remarkable symmetry. That the same way there are 22 days beginning Rosh Hashanah, culminating with Shmini Atzeres, Eretz Yisrael Dikur orientation, a Torah orientation. So too there are 22 days beginning Shavuot V'Tamuz, culminating with Tisha B'Av. A remarkable symmetry, the Sefer Chassidus pointed out. My brother, Hashem Yikom Damo, used to margula b'fume that the Maharsha in Bechoros already highlights this symmetry. It antedates the Sefer Chassidus. Clearly, what the symmetry suggests is that just as those 22 days in Tishrei, beginning Rosh Hashanah, concluding, culminating with the Ato Hareis Tov Adas, Ein Od Melvado, or Shmini Atzeres, is a time of tremendous, almost unbounded spiritual potential, the same paradoxically is true for these 22 days which commence Shavuot V'Tamuz and which culminate on Tisha B'Av. It's not only that during these 3 weeks our avoda is, our focus is supposed to be, again, narrowly Lashon Hara, Sinas Chinam, but much more broadly, much more fundamentally, much more profoundly, the mandate of the Sefer HaChinuch of what defines our lives, what's the raison d'etre for each of us in his or her own personal life. It's not only that this is the avoda of these 3 weeks, it's also that these 3 weeks are especially conducive to, through the avelus of the 3 weeks, when a person, Rachmana Litzlan, experiences avelus, whether it's avelus chadosha rachman letzlan, the loss of a relative, whether it's avelus yeshana, for the Beis HaMikdash, there's a sense of bankruptcy, there's a sense of being bereft. And that sense of bankruptcy, we know that sometimes an alcoholic, rachman letzlan, can't begin the path to recovery until he hits rock bottom. And when he hits rock bottom, it's that which then becomes, paradoxically, the springboard and the impetus, and it's that which galvanizes his recovery. A person can be Oved Hashem through a Gadlus HaMilchem. A person can be Oved Hashem by taking advantage of the Kiddusha of Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim and Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres. And a person can also, that's what the Maharsha, that's what the Sifra Chassidus are telling us, a person can also scale those heights, B'siyata D'Shmaya, by experiencing the emptiness, the sense of bereftness of Avelos. It's a time which is especially conducive to focusing ourselves on Torah, on mitzvahs, on the, again, the counterpart, the analog to the moshel of the person who studies language, who develops an appreciation and a love and a sensitivity to language, and because of that, he just naturally, viscerally reacts when he sees a distortion. These 3 weeks are a time when a person can make tremendous strides in that direction. We all know that Vayifku Ha'am Balayla Ha'hu, that when the Meraglim came and delivered their report, what the reaction of Klal Yisrael was. But it's worth reflecting for a moment on the opportunity that was missed. They could have, Tisha B'Av was a time where they could have demonstrated tremendous betochen and tremendous chibas haaretz. They could have rejected the report of the Meraglim. We identify Tisha B'Av only in light of the option that Bnei Yisrael chose. That wasn't the only option on the table. There was another option on the table. Tisha B'Av, and by extension, by extrapolation, that the entire 3 weeks leading up to and culminating in Tisha B'Av was also a time to reject the Meraglim. It was a time to deepen the betochen, to deepen the focus upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Halavai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should. We have to be Bali Tahir, and then we have a Haftocha that Bali Tahir Messiah also, and with that invincible combination, we should be Zocha to Geula Shlema and Harav Yom.
Amen. Questions? We have Mark right now, yes. No questions? It's a Jewish. No questions.